fourth chapter. Amen. Fourth chapter, 2 Timothy. I want to thank you for the giving. May the Lord bless you. For that is our prayer. In for a little while, and wife not feeling good, and had to leave her there and come here, but wanted to be in the house of the Lord. 2 Timothy, the fourth chapter. Let's read a few verses and see what Paul's going to say to this young preacher here. Said, "I charge thee therefore," the first verse, "I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing and His kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come," boy, are we here or are we here? "The time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch," amen, Paul's given Timothy a job to do here, and he said, "Timothy, watch thou in all things, endure afflictions." Hallelujah. How many knows if you serve the Lord, you're going to have afflictions? Amen. Amen. Man, it's a few days and that full of trouble. Hallelujah. And Paul said, "Timothy, I want you to watch and I want you to endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry, for I am now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand." Paul knows they're getting ready to, he knows what's getting ready to happen to him. Paul understands that his life is getting ready to come to an end. He's made a full turnaround. He's went from persecuting the church to preaching Jesus Christ. But Paul understands that he's getting ready to leave this world, and he wants to leave a message to a young man. He wants to talk to a young preacher, and he said, "Timothy, I know they're getting ready to kill me, but listen to this." He said, "I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me," Paul is so sure, "there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness." You know, you can know that you're ready to meet Him. Did you know that? You can know beyond the shadow of a doubt that you're ready to see the Lord. Had some folks say, "I just don't know if I'm ready to go or not." You probably aren't. If you ain't sure, you're just not ready. We need to make sure that we're ready. Hallelujah. And Paul said, "Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, but not to me only, but unto all them that love His appearing. Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world." I want to preach for just a little while, just a short time, if the Lord help me. I want to preach for just a little while, if God will touch us, simply on "don't quit now." Hallelujah. Don't quit now. Praise God. Paul's talking to Timothy here, and Paul said, "Timothy, son, I know you're going to have trouble. I know you're going to have problems. I went through the same thing. They beat me and left me for dead. They drug me through the streets. I've been in and out of prison in the time. I'm getting ready to leave this world, and I'm not going to be much longer, Timothy. But I want you to know one thing. I have fought a good fight. Yes, I have. I've done everything in my power since the day I got saved, since the time I turned my life to the Lord. I've done everything in my power. I've tried everything I know to do, and I've served God with everything inside me." And Paul's saying, "Timothy, son, I want you to know one thing. You can know you're ready. You can know you're going to meet God. You can know beyond the shadow of a doubt. I want to tell you tonight, the highway of holiness, you can know that you're ready to meet the Lord." Hallelujah. But oh, my friend, those of us that have served God so long, those of us that's kept on praying, we stayed on our knees before God, I want to encourage you tonight, don't you quit now. The devil would love to have you. You understand me? I mean, no, nothing would please him more than to trip up a saint of God that's been in the highway of holiness for years. Amen. I'm going to preach. A.C. Holland's dead and gone now. My father's first cousin. A.C.'s dead and gone now. Good man, 57 years old.
Yeah.
57 years old, we buried A.C. That's too young to die. I drove into Walmart, dropped my wife off. There was A.C. He had worked there, and he had come in before work. He had always got in early and read his Bible and studied back in the break room. A.C. had saw our truck, and he sat down. A.C. began to talk to me, and I said, "How you doing, Ace?" And I knew he wasn't feeling well. He said, "Son, I've never felt better. I mean, I'm doing good. I really am." And he began to talk to me. He said, "I got a fella that's wanting me to come preach at this church over here, and I need to go visit this one here, and I've got this to do, and I've got that to do, and things is piling up." And he said, "You know, I've got to get busy for the Lord. I've got to work for God. There's just so much to do and such a short time to get it done in. There's so many things that's got to be done, and I'm afraid that I've not really worked as hard as I should. I really got to get a hold of God and do more for the Lord." What I never knew was on August the 11th, A.C. Holland had wrote a letter. He had already went in there and he knew his time was coming short. He had called his boy on the son, or called his son on the phone, and began to talk to my cousin and tell him, said, "Sam, I'm not going to be long for this world. Your father's in bad shape, and I'm fixing to die." And Sam told me later, he said, "Dad, just talk that way the last little bit. I didn't pay no attention to it." But A.C. Holland, 7 days after I talked to him, 3.5 weeks after he wrote the letter, A.C. Holland left this world. I mean, just almost instantaneously, the Lord took him out of here. But you know what I heard that man saying 1 week before he died? You know what I heard him talking about? He was talking about needing to work for the Lord. I mean, his whole mind was, "I've got to get more done. I've got to pray harder. I've got to preach more. I've got to go to church more. I need to serve God with a greater fervor." Hallelujah. You understand what I'm telling you? Your time may not be long in it, and you may have years left, but it is no time to quit. We've got to get busy and do the Lord's work. Hallelujah. The Lord is fixing to come back on the clouds of glory, and I'm afraid that His bride has slacked up in her duties. Hallelujah. Paul said, "Timothy, I'm leaving, son. And I'm going to leave you some words. I'm going to give you some encouragement. There's a fellow in our church, served God for years. I want to tell you something, friend. It does not matter how long you serve the Lord. What matters is if you're serving God when you die. You hear me?" He had served God for near about 50 years, if I got the story straight. Had served God for near on 50 years. Was a good man. Played the guitar and sung. Was as good a man as you'd ever want to meet. When his companion died and his wife left this world, he got bitter and angry at God. He started to blame the Lord. And at some 70 years old, he turned his back on God and walked out the church doors. Oh God, oh God. I'm telling you, friend, the devil just as soon have you as he would one of these babes. He'd rather have Brother Collins because of his influence. He'd love to have some of our elder men and some of our elder women that would pull others down. Oh my, I want to tell you something, friend. The older you get, the harder he's going to fight. Amen. The longer you serve the Lord, the harder it's going to get. But I'm here tonight to tell you, you hold on in there. You keep on a praying. You keep on seeking the Lord. And don't you quit now. Paul said, "Timothy, son, I need you to come to me. I'm getting ready to leave this world."
Won't be long.
Paul needed Timothy because one of his fellow laborers had left. Paul needed Timothy because the same man that he would pen in the same breath as Luke left him, turned his back and walked out. And Paul said, "Timothy, I need you. You need to come to me. Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world." Hey, I see three reasons Demas left the Lord and turned his back on Paul. The first reason Demas had left the Lord, turned his back on Paul, is he simply got too close to the world. You don't fall in love with something that you don't play with. You do not get entangled in things that you're not a part of. There is not a man in this church that is worth his weight
laid in gold. That's a count that, I mean, there ain't a man in this church that's even worth anything that does not get upset when he sees someone else flirting with his wife. Amen. There's not a woman in here that would not get mad, her face turn red, and near about kill you if she's seen you entertaining and flirting other women. Amen. Do you know what Demas did? He tried to get as close to the world as he could, yet still hold on to the pleasures of the Lord. If Demas would have just stayed away, if he'd have just not entertained them thoughts, if he'd have just not entertained that worldly ambition that got a hold of him, that carnal desire that overtook him. You know what Demas did? He got so close to the world, Brother Barker, that it got a hold of him. Got a hold of him so strong he could not let go. They tell the story of the perfect murder. This fella had stayed up, and he dreamt up the perfect murder. He's going to kill this fella in his house. Get rid of him altogether. He's going to kill him when night came. He was going to put him in the car. He's going to set him next to him, and he did. Had an alibi. Everybody seen him driving through town with that fella. They couldn't accuse him. He was with him. He had laid his head, already dead. He had laid his head over on the window, and they drove through town. Driving through town, they had come to this lake where it was so secluded, nobody knew where they was, some 20, 30 feet deep. Got down there. He said, what I'm going to do, tie this little weight around his neck. I'm going to wrap his arms around me, and I'm going to walk him to this body of water. I'm going to dispose of his body. Nobody will know what happened. He drove through town, and it took a while to get through town. And as he got out and he hung that weight around his neck, rigor mortis had already starting to set in. He wrapped his arms, or that dead man's arms, around his shoulders. You know what happened? He couldn't get loose. And trying to throw him in the water with the weight around his neck, it took him down with him. Oh my, you know what I'm afraid of? I'm afraid that our churches, and I'm afraid that our folks, is entertaining things that they have all intentions of getting rid of. Demas entertained things that he never had no idea that would latch onto him never to let go. Had Demas have never thought about it, had Demas had never entertained it, he'd have never went down with this world. But oh my friend, now sets Paul writing to a young preacher, and he said, Timothy, don't you quit now, son. I need you to come to me. Demas has left me. Demas couldn't see far enough ahead to see an old gray-headed man crowned in glory, receiving a robe and a crown that was going to be all his. Demas couldn't look down the road and understand that you're going to have to endure some things. Demas could not understand that afflictions was going to come, trials and tribulation and trouble was going to come, and Demas had a hard time separating his hard battles and his hard fought tears, shed eyes, and he had spent nights on his knees, and Demas could not see far enough ahead. We've got folks that can only see in a short vision. Oh yeah, they're going to entertain it for a while. They'll get out in this world for a spell. We're going to come back later, preacher. But what they don't understand is the long-term side of things. It's going to get a hold of you. Amen. Amen. Demas, son, you should have never left, but you did. Why? Because you just couldn't see down the road far enough to understand that when you stood in that great day, my Lord, Demas, you did not know what was going to take place and what was going to happen. And when you was going to leave this world, he's going to turn around and look at you, the Son of God, and say, turn away from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you, oh my God. I'm afraid there's folks in our churches under the sound of our voices as we preach that has all intentions of coming back. We'll leave for a while and we'll come back, but most never make it. Some do, most don't. A few do, and some we walk around their graves and walk around their caskets. We look down at them and we shake our head and say, I can remember when. They shouted up and down the aisles. I remember when they was the last one out of the altars. I remember when they would sing and the glory of God would fall down. I remember when they preached and scores got saved and were filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And now you look at some and you shake your head and you wonder why and you wonder how. Good intentions. Oh yeah. We'll go out for just a little while. Demas, I'm sure that you thought you'd make it, but you never did. Amen. What gets a hold of our people? What gets a hold of our churches? What eats at our young folks so hard? And curiosity takes over, and we just have to find out. We just have to experience it. Just one time, preacher, and one leads to two. And two leads to four, and four leads to months, and months leads to years, and years lead to eternity. Oh my, my mother's brother got turned away from the hospital just the other day. Got a rare disease that they don't even know how he contacted. Pat was a man that had drunk his life away, had doped. He told us at one point he can't remember in some 20 some years the last time he was not either drunk or high on drugs. Pat had came into the church, he had not cut his hair, had not shaved in years. Pat came into the church. God gloriously saved him. He cleaned his act up. God just took the craving away from him. He went years, never drunk, never drugged, never smoked, never did anything. All of a sudden, some folks had got a hold of him and began to tell him, Pat, it does not matter what you do. Pat, it's okay. I mean, you are God's son. Do you have any children? Yes. If your child would get involved in things, would you not love her anymore? Well, sure do. Well, God still loves you. And Pat took the word. And he went out and now is as bad as he's ever been, as strung out on drugs and alcohol as ever. Oh my, one day will lead to two. Oh my Lord, I'm telling you something, friend. I believe that the Lord has spoke to my heart to tell somebody in this building, you had better not quit now. We are too close to eternity. The Lord is fixing to come back. You're playing with fire, you hear me? You had better stay away from the world. Hallelujah. I'm preaching my heart to you. I know we're not shouting, but I feel that this is what the Lord has laid on my heart to tell somebody. Oh my, quit entertaining the thought. It's going to eat at you. It's going to knock at your door until you answer or until you pray it away. Oh, you know what happened to Demas? Demas couldn't take it. Demas couldn't take old acquaintances writing to him and saying, Demas, are you still holy roller? Demas, you still going to that church? Hey, Demas, you remember the last time we had that big old shindig? Yeah. Remember the last time we went out and partied? Sure do. Oh, Demas. Companions, man, started talking. Pressures of life that every one of you have started eating hold of him. Hey, every one of you in this building, if you're not going through it now and you ain't come out of it, you're getting ready to go through it, one of the two. We're either going in a valley, coming out of a valley, or we're in the middle of one. Amen. And every one of you faced the pressures of life, but it got so hard and it got so hot and the battle got so intense, Demas buckled under the pressure. Demas just, but you know what I believe and what I preach? I'm not once saved, always saved. You know me better than that. But I believe it is impossible for you to backslide. I don't believe it is physically possible. I don't believe it's spiritually possible for you to backslide and lose out with the Lord while you're praying. Amen. There has not been a preacher, a singer, a Sunday school teacher, a lay member, a prayer warrior yet that has ever backslid while they were praying. Hallelujah. I'll tell you how to fight the devil off. Stay on your knees in prayer. I'll tell you how to get him out of you here. Keep on praying. You heard Brother Collins talking. We've got a lot of talk, but not enough prayer. Hey, my Lord, I'm telling you, if the church world is ever going to break out in another revival, it's because we're going to pray the devil out of our camp. Hallelujah. Do you know why most rivers are crooked? When rivers come up against an obstacle and a mountain sits there, you know what that river does? It never works its way through. It goes around. It'll go straight and around, straight a little while, and then come up against another mountain, go around again, up and around, down and through. And we got folks that every mountain they come up against, they never pray through it. They take the easy way out and go around. But you can only go around so far. You can only dodge so many until one's going to get a hold of you. You know what we need to do? We don't need to have a crooked river running through our churches. We need to have a straight stream. And if it takes us months that we don't shout and feel the power of God, pray right on. I mean, Brother Jamie, if something hits us so hard and we have to come to church and sit there and smile when we don't feel like smiling, stand when we don't feel like standing, we need to have a river that goes straight through our problems and fights right through it. Hallelujah. I'm telling you tonight in this building, don't you quit. Don't quit. Don't quit like that boy that was at our church Sunday morning. Don't quit. Don't quit. He just couldn't take the pressure. The world had appealed to him until he prayed. I'm going to get rid of the world for a span, pick it back up, prayed and get rid of the world for a while, pick it back up, pray and get rid of the world for a while, until one night he prayed. And we asked him, what are you going to do with things that are binding you? He said, I thought about getting rid of them, but I think I'll store them. What do you mean? Store them. I think I'll just store them up. And the next time I think about quitting, I don't have to waste my money. You know what he was doing? He was making his river crooked. When I face my next battle, I've got something to... But what we need to do is burn every bridge that's behind us and never look back. What we need to do is get us some dynamite somewhere and blow them to smithereens. And the next time the devil talks to us about going back, devil, there ain't no bridge for me to walk through. I done got rid of it. The only place for me to go straight ahead. I mean, I'm done away with that thing that you're talking to me about. Oh my Lord, we'd be a whole lot better off if we just quit looking back and quit looking around and look straight ahead. Get Calvary in our view. Get the Lord in our sights and let's don't back up. We have got too many quitters. Quitters don't win. Winners don't quit. My dad's lost a lot of weight now. But when Dad was well up there and I wasn't as far as I am now, we get side by side and begin to cut that grass. I'm faster than he was. I was quicker than he was. And I'd cut my strip, but I'd stop to get something to drink. And then I'd go out and I'd blow by him again. I'd stop and give me something to drink. When we got done, Dad always seemed to cut more grass than I did because he never took a break. We got a lot of Christians that shout one revival, stop to get their breath. Pray back through and get on the mountain and hallelujah, glory to God, and stop and sit down a little while. Hey, we need some folks that may not shout as high, but they're going still. Going still. Going still. You know what the highway of holiness needs? It needs an element of folks, and I believe you got it. I know you do. You got a great church, but you know what we need? We need a group of people that says, come what may, I'm not quitting. Hallelujah. I'm not stopping. There was a story. I'm not going to preach much longer. There was a story about a fellow that tried to climb the Alps Mountains. It was snowy and blistering and storms came and he tried to climb to the top of the Alps Mountain. He got stuck and stranded and there was a tour guide that was going to go help him down. He started climbing to the top of the mountain to help that fellow. They said, surely you can't make it. You'll never make it. It'll kill you. He said, it's my job to help those that stranded. It's my job to help those with no hope back. That mountain climber proceeded in that snowstorm to walk and climb up the Alps Mountains. He never made it. He died and got killed in the process, but they have got a memorial in His honor, and raised somewhere right now in the Alps Mountains is a monument and a memorial raised in a faithful tour guide's honor. And you know what it says? He died climbing. He died climbing. Hallelujah. You know what I say? If I die, let me die in the army of the Lord. Hallelujah. If I die, let me die on the battlefield. If I die, let me die climbing. If I die, I'm going to do it preaching. Hey, my Lord, who am I preaching to tonight? I want to tell you, don't quit now. The way of a transgressor is hard. You quit now, you thought it was bad then, you ain't seen nothing yet. You thought there was no hope for you then. Oh, the way of a transgressor is hard. Hard. What is the devil fighting you with tonight? They're coming to the piano and I'm getting ready to close. What is the devil thrown up in your face? Timothy, I've fought my fight. I'm ready to go get my crown. I'm going to tell you something. You get ready to endure afflictions. You get ready to fight with every ounce of strength you got. It's going to get hard, son. So hard that one of my fellow laborers couldn't take it. So hard that before I ever came onto the scene and before you ever started preaching, so hard that one of his disciples would turn his back and sell him short and commit suicide. It's going to get hard. It's going to get hard. You see, when you walk out these doors and turn your back on God, there's still hope. Yes, there is. Don't take the chance. Folks are standing all over this building, and I'm getting ready to make an altar. I didn't come here tonight necessarily expecting to preach, but I came here tonight with a message from the Lord. Maybe one, maybe two, maybe three or four, I don't know. The devil's fought you with everything he's got. He's threw everything at you. He's tempted you. He's pulled at you. He's tugged you. He's fought you. He's talked to you. He's lied to you. And some of you are here right now, maybe young, maybe old, and some in between. But you're here right now, and the devil's done everything he can, and you've entertained thoughts of turning your back on the highway of holiness, turning your back on God and your salvation, walking out never to return again. But God sent this preacher by to tell you tonight and give you one more sermon and please and plead and beg with you. Please don't quit now. Don't quit now. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed all over the building. You'd say, preacher, I've not lost out with the Lord. I ain't even backslid. But the devil's fought me so hard lately, and I have to admit I have entertained thoughts. It's been rough lately. Is there one? There's one. Be honest with yourself. You're not gone. You're a good man. You're a good woman. That's why the devil's a fighting you as hard as he is. There's been some that's raised hands. I want to open these altars tonight, and I want you to gather in. These altars is open to you, church. I want to ask you, would you bring it to the Lord tonight? Come on down. Let's talk to the Lord for a little while. Don't quit.